Now, Buzz, I know you would never do this.
Yes.
This is at DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Dear Don and Mike, I speak from experience as a springboard and platform diver who got his pool shut down for the summer by the health department. Buzz needs to be like Tony Soprano and invest in a duck farm. This is what will happen. The ducks will fly over the fence and play in the pool. The ducks will then poo-poo in the pool, and then a, quote, concerned neighbor, unquote, phones in an anonymous tip to the health department, and they shut down the pool immediately because of the black algae threat. Guaranteed to bring months of silence.
Wow. Wow, that would be unfortunate.
All I know is you're going to be at the top of their list, Buzz.
Yeah, I already am.
That's one of the tamer ones that we've received. Apparently, a lot of people have issues with the local neighborhood pools.
How about reenacting the scene from Cocoon?
Which part?
You just get a bunch of elderly to go swim in the pool, and
floating
then
in the pool.
you put big boulders in it.
just be Buzz.
Naked.
Buzz would be like Don Amici in that movie.
Good morning. You know, all the people are arriving for the swim meet, and there you are in your naked glory swimming in the pool, doing laps.
Yes.
Listen, last night, this was so great.
Knocked away, and the Heat survive.
And by
Dwayne Wade.
There you go.
A stirring fourth quarter comeback. And the Miami Heat right back in the NBA Finals.
You are goddamn right.
How did your man do last night? And I don't want to say it's your man. I mean, because you're not even from Miami.
He made his two free throws at the end.
He did.
That's all he had to do.
Did he play a decent game otherwise?
He was okay. He had some assists. It was Dwayne Wade. This is why basketball's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that it went away, but I love it. I mean, last night
had a couple of tough years, right?
Yeah, but I'm really back into it. And this game last night, here's how it goes. It's back and forth, and then at one point Dallas has, I don't know, like a 17-point lead. And this is where I decide I'm going to turn off the TV downstairs, the big high def. I'm going to move it upstairs, go to, you know. Anybody that's been watching a game for a while knows at one point you go, screw it, this is about over. Yeah. I just go watch the rest in bed.
Especially with a 17-point lead.
So I go upstairs, and I get in bed, and, I mean, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, goddamn, Dwayne Wade, Shaq makes two free throws. Dwayne Wade. I realize I am sitting literally 1 inch away from the TV screen in my room.
You're sitting up on the end of the bed?
Miami, I think, scored 22 points in a row. Some incredible.
Wow.
I
mean, 22 unanswered points?
Or it was like 22-6 or something. It was like,
Jesus.
Maybe the most incredible run that I've seen for a long time. I mean, I've not been this excited about the NBA since Michael Jordan played.
Well, because Miami was playing like they were completely overmatched, right? I mean, they weren't even going to be in it.
It was really Dwayne Wade.
What is the series now? What's the score of the series now?
2-1 Miami. 2-1 Dallas.
2-1 Dallas.
They play tomorrow night back down in Miami. Goddamn. And, of course, because they won, after the game, Shaq Daddy did speak.
Well, you know, Pat just told us to, you know, stop making silly mistakes and, you know, just, you know, hang in there and, you know, just tighten our defense up a little bit. And that's what we did. You know, we had a 9-10-point lead on the second and third quarter, and, you know, we just, you know, basically.
See, he's so boring when he talks about the game.
Silly plays. And, you know,
I like it, but no one asked him, like, any questions about, like, his big, gigantic watch he was wearing.
6-7 minutes, I mean, you know, we played.
Okay, Shaq. You know how all of your pro athletes now, when you see them on the show,
right?
The bling now is seriously watches that are, the face of the watch is as big as like a mason jar lid.
Right. That's they're very popular.
Shaq had like two of these things on.
You know, if you had a voice analysis meter or something like they use on CSI, you know, when they're trying to identify, if you wanted to check the tone of Shaq's voice, you would not hear any difference in the tone from the whatever he's saying.
Probably
everything
not.
He says is kind of like that, the exact same thing. That doesn't even make any. There's literally no inflection in his voice at all. I mean, that's his style.
Right.
Whether he's happy, whether he's saying something funny, whether he's angry,
it doesn't matter. It's always just like this, going along without anything like that. With no,
you really could just.
You can't tell.
It was just great. It was really. Just great and unexpectedly great. It was like, you know, everybody knows that you're watching something. Oh crap! The team I like is going to get killed. Well, all right, I'll go upstairs. And then all of a sudden, oh my freaking god! And I was just thinking, who can I call?
Don't call me.
I thought, yeah, what am I going to do, call you?
I was watching the Three Stooges last night.
Yeah, I keep forgetting your wife and kids are out of town.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to call Rob up and say, oh, my God, look at this. Look at Miami has come back.
Right. He'd be watching Dobie Gillis or something like that. The box set of Dobie Gillis.
Anyway, if you get a chance, watch it.
You can always call me during the basketball game. I mean, how long have I, you know, when I brought you to the game, when I brought you into the game, because before you were a basketball fan, you know, I used to tell you about the great moments of my childhood, you know, watching the great basketball contests, you know, back when Dr. Naismith invented the game in Springfield, Massachusetts, merely a half an hour from my hometown where I grew up. Yes. It's true. They used a peach basket in the early days.
That's right.
Basketball. Yeah, I heard. I also heard that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and threw some goddamn coin across the river.
And, you know, after the peach baskets, where he brought them to the college, right, and they shot a ball into the peach baskets, between that time and today with the Miami Heat, it's kind of a black hole for me.
It's a blur.
I really don't know much about basketball.
As long as we're talking about history, Lincoln was a faggot.
I think so.
Now, where did
there's
you hear
a theory,
that?
Actually, there's a theory to that.
Well, isn't there a theory that every president had that going, you know?
That is documented that Lincoln was a fag.
And not as fascinating, I think, as the fact that Lincoln had a high nasally voice.
A whiny voice, yeah, very high pitch.
And I'm only...
what are you doing in this kitchen?
I am only...
Excuse me, you're naked and you're going to have sex with this underaged person.
Chris Hansen is Abe Lincoln.
I'm Chris Hansen. Join me for Abe, the miniseries.
Excuse me, I'm enjoying this play.
Mary Todd, would you pass me my Diet Coke, please?
Who the frig are you?
Boom! Oh, dear.
Ow! Oh, my.
Man, I knew if they had named it Chevy Theater, things would be fine.
God, I love...
Who needs the mustache when you can just have the beard? Oh, will this wart ever go away?
I'm trying to think of...
Hold on. You bet your ass I'm tall.
Who was a contemporary of Honest Abe at the time? Who took over?
Ulysses, please don't vomit upstairs.
That's what I'm trying to look at. Tell Ulysses... I always wanted him. I always wanted him.
Oh, that picture of Robert E. Lee. I know he fights for the other side, but boy, would I like to take a crack at him. I've always wanted to lay. I wanted to lay with Andrew Johnson.
Don't touch me, Mary.
Just fantasizing about laying with Aaron Burr. Fantastico.
Don't touch me, you bitch. You made me go to this play.
Why do you think they call it my log cabin?
Honest my ass. I've been in the closet. I freed the slaves, yet I can't say I love to SD.
I know I'm not the most attractive man you've ever seen, but someday I'm going to be on the penny.
Never mind my hat. I'll show you another stovepipe.
Why did I turn down that booth fellow? Damn, it's tough being me, Abe Lincoln.
I should have stayed home and watched a DVD. But no, the bitch has got the beard, has got to go to the play.
I hate the theater anyway. I don't care how close it is to the White House. Dear, do we have to go? Oh, well, in the words of Siskel and Ebert, the balcony is closed.
You know, it's something else go. When you're riffing on Abe
now,
Lincoln.
It's hard to...
Jesus.
Now, let's continue this gay motif. Step up, please, boy.
Yes.
Mike, to protect the identity of anyone who might be a sponsor on our show...
Very good
if
idea.
Be it their color of the company, red or blue and yellow, or yellow and blue, or yellow and red and blue...
Any color.
It simply is a large... electronic store. Rob just throws this down before the show today.
Yeah, as a throwaway, like we're just going to listen to his story and move by it and not want to hear it on the air.
Just talking was that big a deal.
He's just talking about something he's buying or returning or something. He says, so anyway, I went into this establishment, and this guy hit on me.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, hold
now,
on
now
a
you're
second.
Pretty sure. I want to hear more about this because really, you know, not that you're not a fine-looking gentleman, but you're not the man that I would picture getting
Thank
hit
you.
On. I really wouldn't see a.
Well, you know, Cheryl always told me I'd make a fine-looking lesbian. So
oh,
I
really?
Think that's where I sort of stand that way.
But tell us about a guy hit that. Now, that your words,
right.
A guy hit on you.
Now you're in this electronic store just taking care of business,
and I was no,
yeah,
I was,
you know,
I was looking for a particular product, the new Beatles box set, and I couldn't find it.
Okay,
that's
how it starts. You weren't looking for the John Waters collection?
No, I wasn't. I was not. Looking for that or the new Liza LP.
Have you any Hairspray DVDs?
And so I go in and I can't find it, and I go to the employee.
Yes.
And I he's got his back to me, and I said, "Excuse me," and he turns around. Yes. And I mean, right away.
You fancy him?
He's a fag.
Openly gay.
He is both swishy and fay. So I say, "Do you know where the new Beatles box set is?" And he says. Let's see. And he finds it, and he hands it to me. No, I take that back. He holds it up, and he says, "Did you hear that show this morning on NPR? And I said, "No." He says, "I forget the name of it, but they were doing things with this record that was wonderful. They were playing the left channel and the right channel. They had the producer on."
You mean that were wonderful or that was wonderful?
I don't know.
Was he a grammatically incorrect gay man?
Yes, he was a stupid gay man.
Is it possible? I mean, at this point, do you think he's picking you up? Maybe he's just a nerd like you that likes all of these obscure goddamn facts.
Maybe, but I said, "No, I did not hear that. That sounds fascinating. Thank you for your help."
Mm-hmm. Now, when did he kiss you?
And wait. I go looking for something else. He comes up behind me.
Hey, okay.
And he says, "Are you finding everything you need?" And I said,
"This is after the initial contact.
I broke contact with him another department." And I said, "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you so much." And we break away again. And before I'm leaving, he calls to me from some distance away. He says, "It's called All Things Considered." Because that's the show on NPR. So three times.
Do you think for there's
no
any possibility?
No way. This is.
Do you think there's any possibility that he knew you from the radio? Because I've certainly gone to cocktail parties where people will not want to come up and say they know me from the radio, but they want to say NPR. Don's gotten that too.
I think he's just some gay guy that shares your love of the Beatles.
Making
I mean,
conversation.
Could be, but it just seemed weird.
Do you think he's being tremendously homophobic?
I think it is a side of his brain that, you know, I mean, you tell me how you translate it. I hear it as a guy who. If I was telling a story, I'd just say there's a guy who wouldn't leave me alone. He was one of these guys in the store, like, is a pest. I wouldn't think he was coming on to me.
Rob, did he undress you with his eyes?
He didn't have to. I was already shirtless. No, I think...
If I may, why doesn't somebody give me a moment just to explain what I believe is the source of Rob's anger?
Okay.
All anger or just this anger?
All your anger.
Okay.
I believe that Rob, this is a complete reversal. Rob would never let it happen, and it would never happen, but I believe... That at his core, deep down inside of Rob Spiewak, he wanted this man to hit on him.
You think?
Mike,
yes.
That's what I was trying. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's the two halves of the brain working together.
Yep. I thought you might be going that way.
Mike did finish the thought that I had. Mm-hmm. The beginning was that, yes, anyone else would probably react like, "Oh, what a pain in the ass." Or even if you're like us, you know, God, you know, can that homo just shut the frig up, please? But it wouldn't be. It's coming on to me unless there was a part of your brain. And incidentally, you must admit to yourself, as we all have right now as we're thinking about it, for at least a nanosecond, maybe not even enough time for us to grasp because we are such little brains, we have all visualized you now performing a homosexual act on a strange-looking man.
Have you?
In Best Buy.
Could you describe him?
Well,
it wasn't that one.
No, it really wasn't.
It wasn't. Anyway, it flashes by.
I think it's amazing that in any electronics store of the big ones, and you would get that kind of service, that kind of exciting attention.
If it flew by my mind that quickly, and God knows things fly in and out of there all the time, it must have nested in yours.
Well,
formed like a TV movie inside
That's
your head.
A good word, Don. Nested. That is a very good word.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe a lot of gay people find me attractive, and I'm just overly sensitive.
Could you describe the man?
I don't remember what he looks
like. Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. When did this happen?
8 weeks ago? I don't know.
8 weeks ago. I mean, look at him. Look at him sprinting away from this.
And you, you didn't think to mention it? I mean, with all of the other.
I think I did.
Insignificant crap you tell us?
I think I did because I came in and I showed you the Beatles.
When you exchanged the box set, was there any contact, finger contact at all? Did your hands briefly touch?
Just brief. No,
I will share. You know what? I'm comfortable with sharing a gay moment I had recently. It was on the streets of New York City.
Yes.
I was walking along with my best pal, and on two, maybe even three separate occasions, our hands touched. Inadvertently. And I don't think it was an accident. I think we both wanted it to happen.
There are no accidents.
Were you? Was it a brush? Was it a grab?
It was the third time. Third time
I grabbed his hand.
The third time, and we remember the third time. It was just noticeable. It's like, Jesus.
So
like,
it was a good trip.
Can we get away? I mean, can we not stand so close to each other? No, that's what we're both thinking. We're walking in rush hour traffic.
You know, it's the streets of New York.
Was it a pursuit? Was one of you pursuing the other?
No, I think it happened, you know, just quite naturally.
Let's focus this back on you, though, Vito.
Yes.
All right.
You wanted this to happen.
Maybe, you think?
Yeah. Or you wanted him to, you know, maybe be more.
It's always nice to be wanted.
Sure.
It's flattering.
Did you imagine that you'd be the pitcher or the catcher?
I didn't go that far at all.
Well, go that far.
Was he attractive?
I don't remember him as being attractive. I can swear on my kids.
Now, the fact that he's continuing to deny is what's really starting to frighten me.
I can swear on my kids. I don't remember what he looks like.
Let me give you a little primer.
I believe you've blocked it out.
I'm in touch with my homosexual side. I've accepted it. We have said for years on this show that anywhere between 5% and maybe 15% on a good day.
Sure.
Ask me the same question. Say, was he attractive?
Was he attractive?
He was gorgeous. That's the way you answer question.
All right.
The more you deny, the more I'm getting concerned.
Okay, he was gorgeous then.
Well, now you're lying.
True enough.
Now you're lying.
Well, was he a younger or older man?
I guess he was about my age.
Ah.
Seasoned.
It's a match.
Seasoned.
Not a child, not an oldster, right in the perfect demo.
Not a boy, not yet a man.
Not a man.
Well,
right.
Yeah, like you. That is rough. Now we gotta wait, a few months before Dude Walker does that again? Not a boy, not yet a man.
Did he have facial hair? Do you remember that?
I don't remember him as having facial hair, no.
You don't remember anything about him at all?
I don't.
Was his hair close cropped?
I think he had curls.
Of course he did.
Long shoulder-length curls.
And you think because he was...
shoulder-length golden curl.
In your opinion, overly attentive, he was coming on to you.
Well, he came to me three times.
But was there a spark? Did you sense something?
And incidentally, to and on are two different words. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I guess you're right. I think he
Thank
wanted a spark.
Thank you for getting that one. Because you can't revisit that one if That's nobody right. gets it.
Buzz, I think he wanted a spark.
Okay.
You think he wanted a what?
A spark.
Based on the sheer attention you got, I think there was something there. I think there's mm-hmm. something to your story. Because the fact is, I mean, how often do you go in those stores stand around for three hours and nobody even walks up to you?
Exactly.
You're very
Especially
lucky, really.
You big palooka. What do you think it is about you that turned him on?
Probably my muscles.
I'm going to ask a serious question.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a serious, serious question. And I want everybody to answer it seriously. And I mean this because I have a serious answer to it and an honest answer.
Yes.
Has anybody in their memory ever legitimately been hit on by a guy?
Negative.
Buzz?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can say yes. I know exactly where it was, too. And Joe's raising his hand.
Hi, Joe. Happened to you?
Yep.
I was one time, I think I was once mistaken as a couple with my father. Does
really?
That count?
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, you did tell that story on the air.
They sat us in the in a swishy restaurant.
Fancy restaurant.
Now, listen,
you guys were in a picture window, right?
They put
right
us
up
at front? The
front
window.
Oh, that's nice.
And my father says, you know what's happened here? And I said, what? They said, they've pictured us as a May-December romance, and they want to show it off. And I said, ew. But yeah, I don't think I've ever been hit on.
I was in a bar. I don't remember the name of it, but I know that it was a bar that kind of went both ways. Mm-hmm. Where you had men and women in the bar, and I remember this. This probably doesn't count as a hit on, but I will never forget the look where it was across the bar, and a guy looked at me, and I got the in Napoleon Dynamite,
the eyebrows
that his brother gives.
Right,
I got the eyebrows. I mean, unmistakable eye to eye contact, and You know, and of course I responded in kind. No, I didn't. No. But I do remember that vividly. I remember that very
Let's
vividly.
Let's go to Harry Hedonism. Harry.
Yes, hi.
Harry, when did a man come on to you?
It was actually a group of men in Chicago on the street.
Of course.
Of course, he trumps me.
And one of them, whistled and said, I guess, what you'd call flattering things.
You know what? Did he just blow me out of the water, so to speak?
Yeah, so to speak. Hold on. A wild card.
Yeah, this is interesting.
Let's go to Slow Joe. Slow Joe?
Joe.
Yes?
When did a gay guy hit on you?
Oh, God, it was years ago in Georgetown, back when I was probably 18 or 19 years old.
Really?
Older college.
Sexy young Joe.
That's right. With my mullet.
So what happened?
Go ahead. Some older college guy came up to me at, it was Annie Oakley's. Remember that joint?
I do indeed.
Yep.
I remember when that opened.
They used to have pool tables and stuff, and me and my buddies...
Upstairs. You used to have to go upstairs to it.
Me and my buddies were shooting pool, and this guy, he was an older college student, I would say, was shooting pool by himself, and...
I bet he was.
He comes... Hey! He's giving me that look, and then he comes up and goes, you know, I'm over here playing all alone.
Joe.
And I was like, yeah, you sure are.
Okay, so, and you were... it was pretty obvious.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'd corroborate Mr. Artinger and say that my experience too happened in Georgetown, which
probably.
Is,
Buzz, did you have I mean, you probably had the most direct, right? I mean, did guys say what they wanted to do to you?
They didn't get terribly graphic because we were on a public street.
What did they say?
You know, I don't remember. It's been a long time ago now, but they were just like, you know, hey,
you want me to? I know what they said.
Okay,
you know, look at that ass.
Hey, that's a tight shirt.
Might have been something like that. I don't know.
It's what Al Pacino says. Only not she's, he's.
He's got a great ass. Great ass.
So refreshing when we have these open dialogues.
Yes, it is.
Rob, you have to really embrace it a little bit more.
I feel I've let everybody down. Really, to the best of my knowledge, I've never had a gay guy hit on me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised with all the cities that you've been in.
So sorry.
Let's wait. Well, maybe Joe will call in. Homo Joe.
Perhaps you've never, you know, picked up on the subtle clues that Buzz and I are so sensitive to.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps in your inability to believe that it could happen, you haven't recognized what are very direct overtures.
Well, there was one time with Ken Stevens.
Yeah. That was everybody,
though. I knew it.
Yeah. That was everybody that was here.
But I knew. Because
Ken.
Because right, as soon as he
did, you say sweet Ken?
Sweet Ken.
As soon as he kissed me, I said, you taste like Mike.
Damn you.
And that was the end of it.
Damn you for revealing my secrets.
And he said, shut up.
How I got the gig. The casting couch by Michael.
Shut up, bitch.
Wow.
Shut up.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Rob, would you go back to that store?
I have since then.
Ah, very good.
Sure.
Of course you would.
And when I'm done with you... send Earl Merton in.
There you go.
Ken Stevens was insatiable.
GEM.
No one could satisfy that appetite from Ken Stevens. My God.
No.
Oh, the moments we had.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah. Dom and Mike Show, get a break.